Justin Gatlin is the latest in a long line of sprint sensations to emerge from the USA.
Gatlin got a good start.
Look at this man coming through now.
Gatlin.
What a fantastic performance
from Gatlin.
It's all about Gatlin.
Ultimate goal is to be one of the best sprinters in history.
And what a fantastic performance of Gatlin. And look at the time.
It's the American leading the Jamaican at the moment.
He knows. He is the world champion.
Justin Gatlin is the world champion here in London.
All right, y'all. Y'all know it's a new episode of Ready, Set, Go. We appreciate y'all tuning in to what we do, man. We do this because we know that you want it, and that is important to us.
100%.
So without further ado, Ready, Set, Go. So what's our first topic, man? What you want to jump on, man?
Man.
Oh, hold on. No Diddy. Go ahead.
that's a real thing out there now, man. Everybody on that No Diddy trip. That's crazy. But yeah. the first thing we're going to jump out with, man, was saw a recent interview, man. They were interviewing Usain Bolt, asking him about Noah's statement on the 1910 breaking his world record. Noah obviously think that 1910, he thinks about it, he dreams about it and everything else. Bolt says he has the tools to do it, but Bolt said he wouldn't tell him how to do it. What do you think about that?
All right, so I'll start with Noah's part. Listen, man, this young athlete has manifested everything that he has in front of him already, and we've witnessed him do this from winning 100 meters in the world championships to running times that were to running the American record of 1931, right? To now running the 60 meters and running a superior time. He has willed himself to these goals that he has set out for himself, bro. Like, it's hard to doubt people who have shown you over and over again that they are really focused and they want to accomplish it. Now, with that being said, 1910 is a tall order. That is a very, 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 very tall order. Mind-blowing, in fact. And I think when you look at trying to win a championship compared to trying to break a world record, they're two different goals. Winning a championship is preparing yourself to go through the certain rounds, the prelims, the semis, the finals, making sure that you have enough left in the tank to go out there and charge the line and win this goal, right? But when it comes to a world record, you know that it comes with precision. It comes with timing, the elements, all that comes into effect. You got to do it on the right day. You got to make sure you're in the right lane. You got to make sure you have the right competitiveness that's going to push you to that world record. These are all the things that are necessary to break world records usually. And we've seen that in history. Now, what Bolt said, I think it's true. You know, he has the tools and capabilities of running something that we have never seen. But at the same time, this question is being asked to the world record holder. Of course he's not going to tell you how to break his own record. That's crazy, bro. And he shouldn't. He shouldn't do that because he worked hard for it, man. He worked hard to get that record and he shocked the world with it. Why does he want to help someone erase what he has done? He ain't gonna show.
That keeps a world record outside of America. A lot of the world records come from America. Keeping it in the Caribbean, I think, is probably something he would like to do or keep a little longer. I think he tells him how to do it, but in time. I think he just holds on to it for right now. But I think in time, if he comes to races track meet again or he come down, you know what I mean, or he goes to Jamaica and chills there for a week, I think Bolt may relinquish some knowledge on him on what he thinks or how he think he could do it. Let's not remember, I think, not forget that Wade Dreamer went down to Jamaica for a while. You know what I mean? And then things started to change for him. Maybe they exchanged the coaches exchanged some type of training tactics, and that occurred, and then things started to change for Wade before he got injured.
So I get what you're saying. But once again, I think Bolt's a great guy. He's actually a kind individual, especially when it comes to helping the next generation of superstars in the sport, right? He talks to them. He drops knowledge on them. We see them, like you said, with Wade. But let's not forget, Wade is a 400-meter world record holder, right? So Bolt getting any information to be able to go out and break a world record in a whole different event that is not his territory, by all means, I believe that. True. But I don't think Usain's going to give up the knowledge for someone to come break his records. I'm going to help you be great, but why would I help you be greater than me? That, yeah. I don't think that's going to fly.
That's that Shaka Zulu effect. I don't know if anybody watched that. Shaka Zulu. Nobody can be better than Shaka, boy. Shaka going to hold it down. But
boy, that was like a three-part series right there. Boy.
It was. You had to have a week off to watch that movie. But anyway.
Go ahead. Say what you're going to say.
Definitely I see your point about he wasn't in the territory. But I did see an interview where he said that was one of the biggest things he missed in the sport. He said he wanted to race Wade. He did say he wanted to race him. So that's one of his biggest regrets, that he didn't get to race him.
Yeah, you're right. I saw that. And he also was quoted saying he came along at later on in Bolt's career. You know what I mean? So he said he felt like he could never compete against him at that point in time. You know what I mean? And be victorious. That's what it comes off as saying. Wade was a different beast then. You know what I mean? For sure. Like, we all put our money in thinking that this dude was going to go out there and run 42.
Now, you know Wade, what I mean? Wade is definitely different. He definitely put the definition to, you either going to beat me or I am going to be in the hospital. In which he's put himself in the hospital.
That's crazy.
Running some of these races. Like, yeah. You either going to beat me or I'm going to die on this track. And he conceptualized that to the fullest.
but see, that's my point. My point is, all right, we're going to allow Wade to go out there and will himself to a mind-blowing world record. Why do we not think that Noah has the same capabilities of doing so? You know what I mean? Like, will is will. You know, if we think Wade can will himself and he did, then the money should be on the fact that Noah may be able to do the same thing. You know?
I think both of those situations are different. So to your first question of why we possibly don't think that he can, is he probably underestimates the rounds of the 100 before the 200. You know, when Wade broke the world record, he's only worrying about one race, just the 400. He wasn't a dual athlete. You know what I mean? I think Bolt is the only one who's ever done that, or male in our Olympics or in the world championships, where he broke them both. You know what I mean? So I think he might underestimate the rest and what he may have to go through and trying to do that twice. And now, he didn't say anything about the 100. I know he said it about the 200. But those rounds in that 100 was going to take out a lot on his body, especially if he's trying to get gold, because the margins for him are a lot smaller of him getting that goal in the 100 meters at the Olympics. They're in his favor for the 200, but they're stacked up against him in the 100.
Do you feel like it'll be greedy to go out there and try to win the 1, the 2, and also try to break a world record in pursuit?
Nah, I mean, that's the dream. That's what you want. I think seeing the end goal or knowing your end goal and the plan, you just don't see how you're going to get there. But nah, that's what he wants to achieve. We've seen other people achieve it before him. I just think it's about, you know, like you said, the elements, the precision, how him and his coach are going to go about it. That's the most important part. You know what I mean? I don't think it can be done. I just think the way he says it, or the way he speaks about it, he speaks about it so easily. And I think we may be taking it out of context, making us think that he thinks that it's going to be easy for him to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've watched a lot of interviews that Noah has given, especially this season, and a few things he has said where he has a to-do list. He wants to go out and run 19:10, but he also wants to compete at the 1, the 2, the 4x1, and possibly 4x4 at the Olympics as well. That right there is such a rare thing that you see in our sport, where you have an iconic athlete who says, you know what, 200 is not going to get it done. I mean, a 1 and a 2, been there, done that. I know I can win a gold in a 4x1 with my team. Look at my team. I want to try. I want to test the waters with this 4x4. Do you think? What's your thoughts on that, man? Because
It's not a lot of people that's done that, man. You got.
Let's go down the list. Who's that? Who you got over there?
I got, Carl.
Yeah.
You go further back than them. Maybe Jesse Owens, Marion Jones. The most recent would be Bolt. And I think Michael Johnson.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a crowd of people, bro. It's very minimal. So he would put himself in the conversation of a very small group of people who've achieved that feat. You know what I mean? Which is a very hard feat because that group would be a whole lot bigger. We've had plenty of our greats that's tried and failed. I mean, even Maurice at the triple gold, Maurice Green, you know, he couldn't get it done. Yeah, I mean, we've had, and not that he couldn't or didn't want to, it's just, I think they underestimate how they're going to get to that point. Because remember, one of those medals are not dependent on just you, it's dependent on three other people.
Oh, absolutely. Hell, I've been in the same situation. I ain't getting done either. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you work so hard and you coming from an era, let's just say 2004, right? We were running four rounds back then still, bro. It wasn't three rounds. You were getting up 8 o'clock in the morning running your first round, which is your first round. Then you do prelims. Then you do semis. Then you do finals. Everybody. Now that's just one event. Now you move on to the 200. First round. Then you do prelims. Then you do semis. Then you do finals. Then you got to come back and do, I think, almost three rounds back then of 4x1. So you were literally doing by the time you finish the world championships, you got at least 10 races under your belt easily, you know? So now it's a little more condensed. You don't got four, you got three. But still, that's a lot of running to do in a short period of time at a high level.
At a very high level. I mean, we've seen how some of these heats go. You got dudes dropping 9.899 in the heats. Not the semis. In the heats.
The heats.
You know what I mean? We've seen some 400s where you had to run maybe 44 flat to make it out. 44 flat to make it out? That's crazy.
Facts. Yep.
You know, you have to run 10.90 and 100 for the women to make it out? To make it out, you have to PB every round to get to the doggone medals down, bro. That's crazy.
Every round, bro. Every round.
That's crazy. That's crazy, man. But shout outs to Noah, man. I mean, I like the enthusiasm. You got to keep pushing the benchmark or else our sport will be boring. That's what has to happen. You know what I mean? We didn't think it could happen. Then Bolt came and he won triple gold in three Olympics. Let's keep that in mind, man. You have people who won't even last two Olympics, like yourself or whatever. This man got gold in three of them.
Three.
With Olympic records, I think in two of them. Yeah. That's unheard of. Like that's just crazy in itself, and which is why he is mentioned as the GOAT of our sport. But like that's just crazy to have that type of standing power over years and years of time. You know what I mean? It's only a few like him too. Him and you and Shelly Yan and a lot of the people who've been around a long time. I think some people even forget about VCB, man, Veronica. She's been to multiple Olympics and been getting hardware, world championships, man. Yeah, I mean, she's one of the greats who I still salute to this day.
Absolutely. Definitely, man. Definitely. So since we talk about sprinters and their pedigree, are you surprised at Tobogo's pedigree, man? Because
no.
We went from talking about his 300 where he ran not too long ago, where he ran 30.69. And then now, just a week ago, he drops 44.22, right? And he already has a 9.50 under his belt. He has a 9.8 under his belt, a 19.50 under his belt. He has 9.8 under his belt. Like, that, to me, I'm super impressed. Like, that's impressive to me. That whole lineup, like, what are you? What kind of sprinter are you? Are you a 400 runner? Or are you an 100 meter runner?
Listen, I'm a fan. So, you know, at the end of the day, I'm not surprised at anything this kid can do. I'm more expecting it at this point. You know what I mean? That his sprinting resume probably knocks him or puts him in maybe the top three all time of all around sprinter by times, not by medals, not by world records or anything else, because I know the comments go crazy once you put somebody in a place. By just his times, you got 9.8, 1950, 30.6, which is a world record, and then 44.2. The only people I think you had, what? Michael Johnson was number one on that list at, what, 10 flat, 19.3, 30.8, and 43.1. Then you had Wade Van Niekerk at 9.90-something, 19, I think he's 19.7, 43.0, and 30.7. So he's amongst them two. Because everybody, then there's a huge drop-off with everybody else. Everybody is in the 45s. Who runs the one and the two? They're more so in the 45s, except for Tyson. I think Tyson's at 44.8. But Tyson never officially ran a 300. So you could only judge him by his 9.6 and then by his 19.6 it is. So he's missing that. So that's the only reason why I would put him above Tyson, because Tyson doesn't have a 300.
That's true. You're right. Yeah, he should have ran a 300, man. Definitely his career, especially his 150 time too, man. It was crazy. And let's remember, man, he just ran 44.2.
In March.
We have a whole season ahead of us.
In March. The last time we saw something like this, bro, you know who it was from? And it was recent. We saw something like this from Fred, where he opened up his season with a bomb-ass time, and then he ended up being world champion.
you 100% right.
This is very reminiscent of some bullshit like that, man. I'm just saying.
Hey, boy, if it's anything like that season, boy, y'all better strap in, dog, because y'all about to go on a ride, for real. Boy, speaking of Fred, man, he just opened up his season, man. Opened up with a 10.03. What's your thoughts on that, man? And he's, you know, he seems very confident. You know, when you watch his page, his social media page, you know, even with victory and through defeat, he always shows that he's consistent with his determination. That's what I love about Fred, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, he may be down, but he never out. And he's always trying to build his way back up, you know? So how do you feel about this 10.03 with him open up this season?
Man, I think that Fred's working on some things. I think he was racing, but he was racing working on things. You know, I just came out that he's in the Diamond League in China against Coleman.
Yeah, that's going to be a nice race right there. Yeah. That's going to be a nice race.
I think he was trying some things at a low-key Miami meet with some college athletes just to work on some things and see what he has to polish up on, because he didn't want to go out there, as we would call it, butt-naked. He wanted to shake something off and make sure, okay, we could go and we could fine-tune this, and this, these are things we could do better. And like a lot of people don't know, like, even if you're working on something, that doesn't mean like you may have stopped training. He could still have weights in his legs. He might not have tapered off of that meet. Everybody would be like, oh, 10.03, that's not fast. You got high schoolers running faster than that. But you never know where a person is at in their training and how they're training or what they're doing for. You know what I mean? So,
100%, man. I feel like our fan base, meaning in track and field, aren't privy to that kind of knowledge. You know what I mean? Like, there's stats out there, but I don't think a lot of them understand the way of athletes, especially sprinters, when they're preparing themselves for a season. A lot of them will run with load on their legs. Load meaning like they're still in the weight room. They're still lifting heavy. They're still doing sprint endurance workouts. So they're not sharp yet. And people who have done it in the past that have been truly successful has been Sharika, for sure. Shelly Ann and Elaine. They run always, you know what I'm saying, with that load on their body and still run fast times. And then once they lighten up on the weights in the gym and stuff like that and start really doing more sprint stuff, oriented stuff, that's when they just take it to a different level. So this could be what Fred is doing. You know what I mean? This could be him telling himself, all right, cool. I'm going to go over to China in about a week. So guess what? In a week time, I'm going to chill out. I ain't going to put a lot of load on my legs. And I know that I'm going to be sub 10.
Yeah, I think that's what he's doing. I know I could see people in his comments are now talking about, oh, it wasn't a super fast time. But like I said, I feel like he's just dusting off the cobwebs and getting ready for the whole season, just working on some things. You know what I'm saying? Shoot.
Sure.
What else we got on the docket, man? What else?
Young Jamaican superstar, sprint sensation, Breonna Williams, she changed coaches. So now she's with the legendary John Smith. I like this matchup. What do you feel about it?
I like it too. If she could have the success that he has with Tolu, and then she's a younger athlete, meaning she'll stay there a whole lot longer. You know what I mean? Tolu is a great force, but we all know, I think she's probably maybe about 10 years older than Breonna, or seven years older. So she has some years on her. So that standing power is a lot longer. And, you know, John Smith is coached a lot of phenomenal athletes, male and female, and had a lot of success. I kind of like this move too. I think it probably was coached along by, you know, maybe Otto. You know what I mean? I know he's a great force in her life. And I know he might have, like, this might be good for you. And, you know, out there in that atmosphere might be better for her too. You know what I mean? Out there in that L.A. life, you know what I mean? Might be a little bit better for her too.
I don't know. I don't think the L.A. life good for a lot of people, boy. L.A. can get crazy out there, boy. Everybody think they're a movie star when they get out there, man. Y'all got to stay focused out there. Stay focused in L.A., man.
Hey, you ain't lying. I remember Caron Clement went out there, man. And the year that he wasn't running good, I seen him in a Beyonce video. But the year after that, he moved back with his old coach. He won the world championship. That's crazy.
Hey, that boy had a to-do list. He's like, look, all right. I'm going to go to L.A. I'm going to go ahead and get into a Beyonce video. I'm going to get my cameo. I'm going to move back, and I'm going to win the world championship next year. So mission complete. I finally can retire.
He did it, though. Shouts out to Caron, man. One of the great athletes of our time, man. Caron Clement.
Definitely. Definitely. I like the move forward because, you know, she has success under Otto. And obviously, Otto was trained by John Smith. So a lot of probably Otto's knowledge is rooted from what John has taught him, you know what I mean, as an athlete. So we're probably some tweaks here and there as well. But watching what John has already done with, you know what I'm saying, Tolu also to me is a green flag because it's like, all right, cool. Not only does he have females running fast, and he has a long legacy of fast females from Tori Edwards to Inga to Christy. To Jet, like, you know what I'm saying? And so it's like, he know what he doing when it comes to getting the females fast. So I think she's in good hands. I'm excited to see exactly how that's going to grow.
Yeah, I am too. Only thing too, what our fans might be privy to, if she made the move like around now, she would basically get the whole impact of a John Smith program next year. You know, because she came halfway through the year, so he may have to, you know, deal with some things, getting some habits out and teaching a lot of the modalities he knows to her, you know, for him to go through a whole process to kind of get her to where he wants to be. So they're going to have to be patient with our progress. And we know the fans want her to be, especially the Jamaican fans want her to be tight right now, but it might take some time.
Yeah. I mean, she's young and she came into sport really young. So, you know, have patience with her, for sure. Especially finding herself, finding her own. And then when you go from being, I feel like, a young sprint phenom to winning all the time, to now, you know, you're taking a couple of L's here and there, like, it could also weigh on you a little bit. Then you got to rediscover who you are, you know? But let's talk about something crazy, man. Like, have you been watching the high school 4x1 times, these relays, these boys, what they doing out there in these relays?
You don't have to watch it. It's going. It will find you. Listen, listen. I was sitting down and that thing came across my ticker. I saw 38.9, and I was like, "This got to be like a college or," but when I looked closer, it was a high school. But that didn't surprise me. What surprised me was 40 flat got third place in that race. 40 yeah. flat would win you any 4x1 in the country, anywhere you are. 40 flat got third place in that track meet, bro.
Yeah, bro. Listen, Atascocita High in Texas, 38.9. Jelani Watkins, their anchor. Take your hat off to him, man. He, if arguably the fastest kid in the nation, whispers are saying that he can run by the end of the season, he can at least run 10-0. You know what I mean? So, or even better. So we'll see what happens. But right now, they rule in the roost. Second place was 39.6. That's crazy.
Now, keep in mind, the national record was 39.7. So that's
two teams that smashed the record. Two teams that have smashed the record in the same race. The top five on this race have all went under 41. The top five went under 41. Number six was 41.6. That's crazy, bro. That's crazy.
I don't think our fans or some people who casually watch track and field, people who watch track and field may know, but some people who casually watch track and field might not understand how fast 38.9 is. 38.9 might not get you a medal in the World Championships or Olympics, but it will make the final. You'll be in the final somewhere. Maybe sixth or seventh. These kids would have been maybe fifth, sixth or seventh in a World Championship or an Olympic.
No, this is facts. This is facts. Very true. They would have beat countries. They would have been out there beating countries, Doug.
Now, keep in mind, they won. So if they were in a setting, like a huge setting, where they can be dragged, maybe they would have even been faster because they won. They won running away, literally running away. They won. So yeah. You never know, man. It's crazy.
That is crazy, man. Other news, bro. Hey, you got a... The Jamaican team, Drake Federation, the team, they just dropped the Olympic uniforms, man.
Yeah, which is fire, man. You know what I want to know about who designed those uniforms? I want to see the person that does them, because if you're from that shoe company, that all they do is change the colors for every other country that wears from that shoe brand. But I want to see the designers who actually designed the uniform, because the Bahamas is actually sponsored by Puma also. So our uniform will look like that, but just in our country colors. But we need to give go ahead.
So the girl who decided, I found her on Instagram, because I was thinking the same thing you were thinking. I was like, who designed these uniforms? You know, because I also love the fact that they paid homage to Marion, they paid homage to Adi.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, I mean, you go back and look at her old uniform that she wore. It is very similar to the new uniform, so they pay homage to them.
That is awesome.
Yeah, Merle Ali. Shout out to Merle Ali on that one, for real.
Shout out. You know?
So, I think she is Dutch. She's Dutch-American. And she looks like a regular chick, bro. Like, she's out here running these 5Ks, having a good time. You know what I mean? I'm thinking I'm about to go to the page where she's just like, runway couture, like, dog, like, she out here just living her life, dog, making Olympic uniforms for Puma and Team Jamaica. So
does she work for Puma, or this is some freelancer designer?
Let me see. I mean, I think she works for Puma. She says in her bio that she works for Puma. So, making athletes fast and fly, Puma running.
So, okay. Yeah. She worked for Puma. She put that on her Instagram. Yeah. Who does the Nike ones?
I don't know, man. I have no idea, man.
I know
it's,
y'all.
It's always shrouded in secrecy, man. You never know.
Y'all never unveil y'all on until like it's closer to the Olympics. It's like you make the team and then they show you what it looked like.
No, that's exactly what they do, bro. You literally make the team and then the next day, they unveil what our Olympic uniforms look like. That's exactly what it is.
That's good. So that's got to be like a very gratifying effect, because now you made the team and you know the only way you have one of these is if you made the team. They sell them later on. Like, I think they sell them like maybe a year after. But like at that point in time, if you see anybody in a jacket, a pant, a shirt, they've earned it. It's crazy. Listen,
getting on the team from the Olympic trials and making the Olympic team, and also seeing the unveiling of the Olympic uniforms, it's like Christmas. It's like going to the Olympics and Christmas all at the same time. That's what it's like.
So tell me this. I've done this before. When you made a team, did you like put on the whole kit and like stand in the mirror?
All right. So what happens is, what you do is, once you win, you get a ticket. You get a ticket when you cross the finish line. And they tell you right then, hey, you have made the Olympic team. Here's your processing ticket. Go down to this corridor and make a left or whatever. And you go into the area where they start to process you for the Olympics, right? So in the process situation, you go through, they go through travel. They go through, give you information about the country you're going to. They pick your airline tickets then. They set you up all the way. And then you go wardrobe. So in wardrobe, that's when you get to put the uniform on and you inside that little, you know what I'm saying, changing booth. You step out, you look good in your uniform and everything. So you really get to put it on then. But to really answer your question, once you get your uniform, your suitcase back at home, once it's sent to you, of course you take everything out the rabbits, you put them on. I walk around, I sit on the couch. I ain't gonna lie, bro. I sat in my uniform, sat on the couch, watch TV. Especially my first kit, man, you love it. You love being a part of the Team USA, man, especially having that uniform. Kids wait their whole career for that moment, bro.
No, you ain't lying. You ain't lying. Now that we spoke about that, man, we spoke about some things, man. You know, we had a short show today. We won't get to our Olympic story time unless you have something else.
Nah, it's Olympic story time, man.
Olympic story time. What you want to talk about, man?
I probably need your help on this one, too. I want to talk about 2012 London Olympics, 4x1, and us going through that whole situation, man.
Oh, wait.
You remember
wait.
That?
That's when Jamaica ran 36.8, right?
Is that the first thing you're going to think about with my Olympic story time?
Listen,
about
man.
About Jamaica running 36.8.
Oh, 36.8?
Yeah, it was 36.8.
Man, that joke was crazy.
I remember looking up the scoreboard and be like, damn, they ran 36.8 on us.
No.
36.8 is like a high school team going 38.
but that's not even why I remember that one. I remember that, but I remember right before that or after that. I remember Carmelita them running 40 point, which was so inspiring. Like when you watch it to this day, when you watch the females, you know, I think it was more expecting for the males of Jamaica to do something special and y'all, but for the females to run 40 point, I think you still get chills watching it. Like watching that quartet of women do what they do. I think it was Tiana to Allison, to Bianca, to Jet. It's just crazy. And it's so crazy. I always remember Jet pointing at the clock before she come through the line. The junkie just gives chills like, I knew this is fast. I know this.
And listen, watching that, I still love it. No disrespect to any team that I've had on any relay. That is my favorite relay. That is my favorite relay to watch right there. It gives me chills watching it even now. The fact is, when the gun went off, you felt the energy. You felt the confidence. You felt the swag, dog. I mean, the handoffs was just pretty much flawless. The way they moved around the track, it was crazy. Like, it was almost like they were floating, especially when Bianca was running that third lane. Like, man, he just floated around the third, dog. Man. She had that stick off the Jet. Jet went out there and shot the clock.
Boom!
It was a world record. Like, it's even like, it wasn't a late or delay reaction. It was an all-time reaction, dog. Like, she knew that they broke the world record. It was also, bam! That was crazy.
We got to get, I mean, I know this is your Olympic story time, but we have to get one of those women to tell us what went into that 4x1 right there. So we're going to get back to your story time, though. But we're going, Bianca Knight, Addison Felix, Tiana Madison, one of y'all, Jet, one of y'all, please let us know if y'all want to tell us about that whole night, man. Let us know.
Yeah, please do. So our relay was a little different back then. For 2012, for our finals, it was Tyson Gay at third, me at second, Trail Kimmins at first, and we had Ryan Bailey anchoring, okay? For whatever reason, our prelims was all messed up, right? I think Tyson was a little banged up and he couldn't run in the prelims. Something was wrong with Bailey. And I know that we had to figure out how we was going to put together a relay team. We had We had Doc as our alternate. So we had to figure out how to be able to maneuver this whole order because our order was all messed up now. We didn't have our legit third leg. We didn't have our anchor. We had B at second. We had Trail at start off, right, for first leg. But the issue was we didn't know how to be able to finish off that whole 4x1 relay order. So when we had to push the order around, so you had Doc at second, you had Trail Kimmins at third, and you had me anchoring. This is probably one of the only times, other than 2013, you ever going to see me anchor a relay at a high-level championship. And that was our prelims. Our first leg, that's where the story gets interesting, was Jeff Dibbs. Shout out to Jeff, man. At that point in time, Jeff was a part of our Team USA relay pool. And we were training in Italy. And it just wasn't vibe. It wasn't meshing. That's where the coach was feeling, right? The sticks weren't getting handed off correctly. And it was a lot of misses. And at that point in time, I think Jeff got frustrated. I remember Jeff saying, "Hey, man, I'd rather get hit by 400-pound lineman than go through this situation right now, man." So he got on the plane, he left. Boom, he went back to America. Now, mind you, Jeff is also an NFL football player at the same time as he is an Olympian, right? So he went back to America. He started getting ready for football. Then he got the call. We had no one else to run. There was no one else for us to run. They brought him back from America over to the Olympics. The day before, it's time for us to run the prelims. We had no way of even working exchanges or anything. We plugged and played. We finally got him in. He got on first leg. He got into the blocks. Boom, gun goes off. He's motoring around that turn, dog. And you could tell, like, Jeff the kind of person, like, he ain't about drama. Nah, you know what I'm saying? And everything like that. But he about to make his point. And he did. I'm going to tell you right now, that was one of the best leadoff legs I ever seen, bro. Like, he was moving around that turn, hand the stick off to Doc. I've never seen Doc run a second leg, personally, right? And he moved down that best stretch like, "Oh, hold on, man. I'm sitting on anchor leg. Like, hold on, Doc. Like, I think you're about to take my spot, boy. You out there moving." I ain't going to lie. What concerned me was Trail. I've never seen Trail run third leg. Like, Trail is usually our starter. He's our leadoff. I've never seen Trail run any other position. But Trail handled that position well, man. He got the stick. He ran that turn, handed the stick off to me, and I'm just cruising. We way in the lead. I'm cruising just on the home stretch. Boom, boom, putting it down. Bah, 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 bah. Not even giving like 100%. We come across that line, 37:04, I think was our time. Or it was 37:14 or something like that. And we broke the American record. Now, mind you, this American record has been standing since Dennis and Carl Lewis, Leroy Burrell, them boys still had that record, like I think at 37-40, dog. And we went out there and smashed the record without even like a mad effort. So we knew the finals was going to be special. So when everybody was patched up and ready to go with Tyson and Ryan, you know, we did our job in the prelims. We was proud of Doc, proud of Jeff. They handled business. And we went back to our original order, which was Trail at first, me on the backstretch, Tyson running the curve, and Ryan bringing it home, right? So we going against Powerhouse right now. We going against Jamaica. Jamaica in their prime, too. So gun went off. It's an epic battle all the way around the track. I get the stick. Boom. I put us in the lead. Come around that turn. Johan and Tyson battling for supremacy in that situation. They hand the stick off at the same time. And by the time we crossed the line, Jamaica ran 36-8. We ran 37-04. And we went out and broke the American record again in the same championships. So
that means you had two relay teams break the world record at the Olympics, which I don't think happens regularly, which is crazy, man. It's crazy.
It is, man. It was a great time. It was a great time, for sure. It was weird because you know how it is, man. When you deal with relay, especially in America, it's a lot of politics that's added to it. So sometimes you don't even know who's running before you even get on the track. Everybody's warming up.
I think
everybody's in the back warming up, and then everybody's waiting to say, all right, who's getting picked?
I think y'all have the biggest relay pool than any other country out there, because I think y'all be pulling people from the 400 too. Y'all, which is crazy. Like when you look at every other country, their 4x1 is maybe 4 to 7 guys. You won't see another guy in that season unless they're injured or hurt. But it's the same 4 to 7 guys, no matter what. But y'all can run 2 different 4x1 teams and they look totally different. Oh, yeah. T10 finals, like different personnel and everything. You'd be like, bro, what was that?
Oh yeah, 100%. 100%. And I just said, with that relay team right there, it was 50% change. You know what I mean? Going into the finals. But it's just the fact that we have such deep talent in America, it's almost like you got to give every opportunity a chance. I do believe that we would do better if we had like an elite team, right? Like how everyone else does it. Create an elite team. That elite team is their task to go out there and win relays. Like they build synergy, they build a bond, they build a brotherhood, and their passes are going to be flawless.
So with that be said, do you think y'all should do it like this? And I'm not trying to get at nobody at USATF. I'm just saying, but you do top 6 and 100 are pooled, with the top 3 of the 200 pooled also. And that's the only pool they can work.
I mean, that has happened in the past. We've had that. We went from, which was the rules was top 3 automatic on the relay. Not automatically in the relay pool. It was automatically on the relay. In 2004, first, second, and third, we were already on the relay. Now they get to pick within that pool who's going to run that fourth leg, right? Or I take that fourth spot, should I say. Now it's changed so much throughout championships to where it went from top 6 to all the people in the finals to now if you just finished a race in the Olympic trials, you could be part of the relay pool. So now they can just pick anybody they desire they want to pick, you know, and I feel like that's a double-edged sword because like, okay, cool. You can go out and get the best of the best. But then sometimes when you have too many options, now you start to like, your mind starts to wonder, you're not really focused on who needs to be on this relay. Not taking any, you know what I'm saying, any efforts because right now at this point in time, Michelle Lewis, she handling business. They handling business on the guy side with Mike Marsh. So it's the fact that it's just so many people and so many options to pick from, man, that at some point in time, not only one, not two, almost a complete 4x1 that could challenge a whole other world championships is not going to get picked. In that from that finals, from the 200, the 100, any pool, they're not going to be picked. We have so many different combinations. It's crazy.
Yeah, I think it is tough for the relay coaches here too, because this is the only nation, and Jamaica for a while, that you could run 9-8 or 10-8 and get left home. You know what I mean? Like you could run 9-8 and be watching the Olympics from the crib, which is crazy. This is you run 9-8 in any other country, you are the man. You run 9-8 here, you're just amongst a few other 9-8, 9-9s.
Oh, you get this. Good job. We see you.
Yep.
Nice run.
Yeah, so I do get it. This is a hard, y'all basically gotta run the Olympics twice and the World Championship twice, man. Cause y'all out. I think my first time was going to y'all Olympic trials was in 2021. And that was just crazy, man. It was just crazy to make that team. It was just crazy. The atmosphere and everything was just crazy.
I get more anxiety from Olympic trials and nationals than I do World Championships and the Olympics. Because you're dealing with the normal professional athletes you have to deal with every year. We're going to be there, ready to go, primed. And you also have to deal with these young college guys who are primed from having a full season already, and they're ready to run. They already just finished their NCAAs. So you already know what they can run. They already in 9-8 shape, 9-9 shape or whatever else, right? So that's what you're dealing with. So you get it from both sides. It ain't like you can just say, all right, cool, I'm going to fight off the pros. As soon as you start focusing on just eliminating pros, you got college kids to worry about too. And they out there being hungry too. They want their name out there. They want to make these teams. So that's what anxiety really comes in at, bro. It's like, you don't know what can happen at a trials or a national. You just be like, look, man, blinders, I'm just coming out to get it done.
Facts, man. Well, we hope you guys enjoyed our show here at Ready, Set, Go, man. We're going to leave y'all. And we want to thank everybody that supported us. Remember our new channel on YouTube. Please like and subscribe. Link is in the bio.
Ready, set, go.
We out.
Yeah.